Hello, my friends. DL Anderson here. Welcome back to Transformation by Truth podcast as we share the truth concerning these last days and what you must do to save yourself from the violent times that are just ahead. Today's podcast is a word of truth accounting of the end times. The end is coming. The end is near. Today's podcast is entitled End Times 267, The Sealing of the 144,000, Part 3. The podcast's objectives are analyze the importance of overcoming all things, analyze the link between perfection and discipleship, analyze the conflict between goodness and perfection, and analyze the power of surrendering all. This lesson contains timelines and other visuals. Therefore, if you are listening to the podcast, I advise you to watch the video version on our website or YouTube, or request a PDF of the lesson so you can add the visual effect. Men who have overcome all. Now, in the most recent podcast, we proved that the 144,000 who were sealed in Revelation 7 are men who are chaste. Here lies the key and the reason why the scriptures refer to them as virgins in the masculine sense. It is for the following reason. To be chaste is to be pure in your thoughts, intentions, and your actions. And yet, the state of chastity retains a focus on sexual purity. Here again, this focus does not establish a false scale that attempts to assign numerical values to the various types of sin. My dear friends, the word of truth went there, and so we had to go there. As disciples of Yahushua Messiah, we were compelled to follow. And so we did, and we came to an obvious conclusion. That is, the 144,000 who are sealed in Revelation 7 are men who have power over every temptation and all sin. They are overcomers who are fighting the good fight of faith. They are prayer warriors and men who are led to fast often. They are spiritual soldiers who are too focused on their spiritual trade that they don't have time to get wrapped up in the cares of this life. And thus, they are not entangled with this world's affairs. Now, I could go on, but I think you get the point. These are not men who have excelled in overcoming two manners of sin, even though they are prominent sins. On the rather, they are 144,000 faithful men who have overcome all sins. And the fact that the Spirit of Elohim led John to draw a specific focus to chastity and the avoidance of whoredom and fornication does not discount any other type of sin. It's simply a warning against these two, which, should you receive it, will be for your eternal good. For lo, there is a spirit of fornication, whoredom, and alliance in the earth. And these anti-Mashiach spirits have found their way into churches and assemblies across the world. And although we do not attempt to grade each manner of sin, we can clearly see the aftermath of certain sins and the damaging and lasting effects they have on human relationships. And that, my friends, is all I have left to say on this matter. He has something better for you. Now, the summation of these matters is in line with the Torah of perfection. Remember, perfection is equated to completeness. It is the spiritual quality of being whole, having fulfilled every requirement and meeting a predefined standard. Here lies the inflection. To it, as Yahushua Messiah is the standard of the Torah of perfection, he is also the standard of the seal of Elohim. For we have already proven that you cannot obtain the seal of Elohim without adhering to the Torah of perfection. Now, the question many are likely asking is, how do we meet the spiritual standard of Yahushua Messiah? The answer comes from the mouth of Yahushua Messiah, the causer of our salvation. In Matthew 19, Yahushua calls for a rich young ruler to be his disciple after he first calls for him to be perfect. From this dialogue, it is clear that perfection and discipleship are mutually inclusive. That is to say, to be a disciple, one must achieve perfection. And should one achieve perfection, then he or she will come to be a disciple. Matthew 19:21 reads, Yahushua said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go, sell what you have, and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Here's the question. Why is Yahushua commanding the rich young ruler to sell what he had and to give to the poor? Is it because the master doesn't want his followers to be rich? The answer? Not exactly. The truth is, the call Yahushua made to the rich young ruler concerning his riches was not about his riches. Quite the contrary, it was about removing all the stumbling blocks that could potentially prevent him from becoming a disciple. This is precisely why Yahushua commands the rich young ruler to sell and distribute first. And after he had sold and distributed, he was to follow the master. In effect, Yahushua was saying, first remove this stumbling block out of your path, and then come and follow me. Look here, Yahushua will not join himself to an enterprise that is doomed to fail from the start. This is precisely why his way is always best, for he, unlike us, knows the beginning from the end, and thus he knows all those matters that would prevent us from becoming his disciples. This is why Ecclesiastes is revealing that there is a time and a season to throw away. It's because the path to perfection is a straight and narrow way, and it gets narrower as you travel it. Here lies the inflection, and one of the greatest lessons I have learned in my personal quest for holiness, perfection, and everlasting life. I advise you to bookmark it and always remember it while you are on yours. As the path to perfection gets narrower, we are forced to let go of many of the things we are holding on to, and yet they will not benefit us as we progress our quest. Here lies the inflection. To wit, many of the things we are holding on to are not sinful in nature. As a matter of fact, some of these things could be accurately classified as good. And yet, the fact that these matters may be good in nature is not the point. The point is, what you are holding on to will prevent you from progressing the Father's will in your life. Now, the question many are asking is sure. How can something that is good prevent the Father's will from being manifested in our lives? The answer is as powerful as it is sure, and I will offer it as our first treasure box in this lesson. Whenever you reach a point in your quest where you are being asked by the Master to let go of something that is most certainly good, it is for one simple reason. It is because he has something better for you. Where good becomes the enemy of the perfect. Now, I trust you can see the critical nature of this reality, specifically because many who have been called don't appreciate it. And they, like the rich young ruler, have not fulfilled the call to discipleship. And yet, unlike the rich young ruler, these hypocrites and rebels will not walk away in sorrow. Alas, they would rather stay in the churches and assemblies they are in, deceiving themselves and others who are in the same backslidden state. What these spiritual degenerates fail to realize is sure. That is, we all have a limited spiritual and physical volume. This is a law of spirit and physics that cannot be changed. Add to this the narrowing path that we are on, and it is beyond evident that a prominent feature of this quest is sure. We must achieve a powerful, prominent balance between our spirit and our physics if we are to press our way forward in the quest for perfection, holiness, and everlasting life. Not only this, but we must also realize the purpose of this process. As I said before, the Master is not calling us to arbitrarily throw away the quote-unquote good things in our lives. Quite the contrary, he is proactively working to ensure that we succeed the press that every disciple must go through to enter into life. Those of us who can see this will have no problem letting go of those matters, no matter how good some may think them to be. For we know the Master has something better for us. And unless we put off that which he has commanded, these blessings we never will receive. This, my friends, is where we find the rich young ruler. He was indeed in a great dilemma. And yet, the great dilemma he was in was a byproduct of an even greater paradox. That is, the certainty of riches versus the paradigm of less is more. To wit, because of his riches, he enjoyed a very comfortable life. He knew what to expect from day to day. And in a world that is constantly changing, he developed a certain trust in his riches, which made it very difficult for him to entertain any scenario where he would willfully depart with them. Here lies the great paradox. For the only certainty concerning riches is the uncertainty of riches, and a great evil which men's hearts depart from Elohim. 'Tis a principle we have all been taught, but only a few of us have truly received. Proverbs 11:28 is revealing, he who trusts in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish like a leaf. Proverbs 13:7 reads, there is one who makes himself rich, yet has none at all, and one who makes himself poor, yet has great riches. Proverbs 23:4-5. Do not labor to be rich. Cease from your own understanding. Do you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle to the heavens. 1 Timothy 6:17-19. Charge those who are rich in this present age not to be high-minded, nor to trust in the uncertainty of riches, but in the living Elohim, who gives us richly all for enjoyment. To do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, ready to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, so that they lay hold onto everlasting life. Now, not only do these lines testify to the uncertainty of riches, but they also reveal the great conflict between riches and discipleship. To wit, many who place their trust in riches will struggle to trust in the living Elohim. This is why 1 Corinthians 1:26 reveals, not many noble are called. That is to say, not many who are rich in this world will heed the call to discipleship. It is because of the great peril associated with riches. And yet, this spiritual rule applies to all things we may consider to be good or an advantage, for these could all prevent us from having everlasting life. And this too is a great paradox, for it is the busiest intersection in the sphere of men, the great irony where the good becomes the enemy of the perfect. We are surrendering all. Now, the sum of these matters brings us back to the discourse between Yahushua Messiah and the rich young ruler, and the question I asked before. That is, how do we meet the spiritual standard of Yahushua Messiah, our master? That, my friends, is the question. And it is the same question Yahushua's disciples asked him all those years ago, after Yahushua warned them concerning the difficulty involved in achieving perfection and entering into everlasting life. Matthew 19:25-26 reads, and when his taught ones heard it, they were very astonished, saying, who then is able to be saved? And looking intently, Yahushua said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with Elohim, all is possible. The key line in this verse is, with Elohim, all is possible. Therefore, the potential surrounding perfection has never been and will never be in question. What is in question is the truest desires of those of us who have been called. That is to ask, are we going to fail the master like the rich young ruler? Or are we going to be like the 11 plus one who followed the steps of Yahushua Messiah and shook up the world in their time? Now, as you ponder what you're going to do, allow me to tell you what the 144,000 are going to do. We will not let anything stop us from becoming masters of the Father's will. We will not let anything stand in our way as we follow the steps of Yahushua Messiah in adherence to his Torah of perfection. We will not be like the rich young ruler who had more faith in his material wealth than the blessings of Elohim, which come from above. On the contrary, we are seeking the kingdom above all, for we know this is the only way to be truly blessed. Matthew 6:33 reads, "But seek first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these shall be added to you." My dear friends, Yahushua cannot have been any more clear. If you seek the kingdom above all else and his righteousness, all things shall be added to you. And what Yahuwah adds, no man can subtract. No man can take away. No doubt, the 144,000 understand this. And we also understand the following interest point. This I ask you to consider faithfully as you labor to obtain the seal of Elohim. More often than not, the only way Yahuwah Elohim will add his blessings into your life is if you first surrender something that is already in its place. Lo, this line speaks to the great dilemma I mentioned earlier in this podcast. Vis-a-vis, many are unwilling to let go of the good things in their life to make room for the perfect. Here is what these fail to realize. The Father's will is perfect. See Romans 12:2. And thus, when we refuse to walk in the spirit of surrender, letting go of anything and everything that the Father commands us to let go of, we are preventing his will from being done in our lives. I trust I have gotten your attention. If not, allow me to be very clear. The Father's will is for all who have been called to obtain the seal of Elohim. Understanding the terror that is coming, his desire is to guard us during this time of great distress. Notwithstanding, he will not force the seal into our lives if there is not a perfect fit. Quite the contrary, his spirit will show us those things we need to let go of so that the Father can impart his seal unto us. All who are truly being led by the Spirit can see this, and they will act accordingly. Trust me, there is nothing in this life worth holding on to, for all the treasures of the world do not compare in value to the seal of Elohim. Trust me, the 144,000 know this, and thus we are following Yahushua Messiah wherever he leads us on. And in the process, we are surrendering all, and in peace we stay upon. As for the rest, they will struggle to surrender for many reasons, and none of these should be taken lightly. For always remember, everlasting life is at stake. like the rich young ruler, these all will have a breaking point, which they will eventually encounter. That is, the interval where they will forsake the Father's will to hold on to something he has commanded them to let go of. This speaks to the primary difference between those who will obtain the seal of Elohim in this current season and those who will not. I will capture this with an interest point to conclude this lesson. Every breaking point in our lives is a sin. It will surely find us out. And thus, the only way to obtain the seal of Elohim is to eliminate every breaking point in your life. For in each and every occasion, your breaking point has the potential to become a making point. Now, here is the final word. The key to overcoming all things is to surrender all things. This is not some fresh word or a new revelation. My dear friends, this is Scriptural Theology 101. And yet, the truth is, this lesson is one of the most difficult for men and women to follow. This is largely the case because they have resisted the urgency to eliminate their breaking points because we are living in a relatively good day. That is, when you compare the season we are in to the season that is to come. And yet, that season is coming, and this relatively good day will quickly devolve into an evil day. And all who resisted the will of the Father and held on to their breaking points will find themselves in the heart of the burning displeasure of Elohim and without his seal. Heretofore, I recommend that you should take this matter most seriously. I advise you to hear him when he calls. And while he is asking, what will you surrender? In truth, thou shalt say, I surrender all. Now, here is what's next. We completed today's podcast, End Times 267, The Sealing of the 144,000, Part 3. And the next podcast is entitled, End Times 268, The Sealing of the 144,000, Part 4. I will post this podcast on Monday, April 8th, 2024. Until then, my friends, continue to be led by the Spirit of Elohim. Continue to watch. Continue to pray. Continue in fasting. And most of all, continue to be focused, for the end is coming. The end is near.